The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we're talking about a very important subject, and I'm sure one that many, many people want to learn more about, and that is poison control and how to prevent poisoning. And we have with us, fortunately, we have with us Gail Bannock, who's Director of Public Education and Communications for Upstate New York Poison Center. Gail has been with the Upstate New York Poison Center for more than 25 years, with over 30 presentations and posters at toxicology meetings. Gail helped develop the accreditation standards for all U.S. poison centers, serving on the American Association of Poison Control Centers Accreditation Committee for 15 years. She was also appointed to the Centers for Disease Control's Protect Initiative, looking at unintentional poisonings in children under five. And this one is really great. She's a member of the Onondaga County District Attorney's Drug Task Force and chaired its Prevention and Education Committee. And that speaks to my heart because I am Director of Opioid Prevention Strategy here in Ulster County. So that's really terrific. And Gail also led the effort in Onondaga County in the startup of the Sharps, Needles, and Drugs Disposal Program for safe drug and needle disposal throughout Onondaga County. And they really did a great job along with their police departments and colleges. So Gail, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being on.
Yeah, we love having you here. And so, Gail, give our listeners a little background on the New York Poison Center. How did it get started, and what is its mandate? What does it do?
Well, the Upstate New York Poison Center is one of two poison centers in New York State. One is the New York City Poison Center, and the Upstate New York Poison Center covers everything north of Westchester County. So most people know us as the place to call for a poison emergency or for poison prevention information, because we are available 24/7 and 365 days a year. So whether you've ingested something, like maybe too much medicine, or you've drunk something, like maybe a child getting into bleach. But we also take calls about anything that maybe you inhaled while cleaning, or something you splashed on your skin or in your eyes, or even bites or stings like spiders and snakes. You know, we help provide management on how to treat those patients, whether in an at-home setting or in a hospital.
Mm-hmm. And are there any special, credentialing or that your staff have, or how are they trained specifically to deal with the wide array of potential poisons that might be out there?
Sure. We are, our poison center is staffed, and we have to be according to our criteria, our accreditation standards. We have a medical director that directs all of the efforts. And then we have also, and we have more people on the clinical team than just that one medical director. We also have clinical toxicologists that help on the pharmacy side, as well as the people who answer the telephone calls are registered nurses trained in toxicology. So they have to have an emergency background, if you will. And then they study continuously in toxicology. And so either nurses or pharmacists. Wow. And then we have the team of educators who are an assortment of backgrounds. Mine happens to be 3 degrees in education. And we do a lot of outreach within our 54 county area to both the general public and some to the professional education as well.
Mm-hmm. And how is the how is it funded?
A variety of sources. We receive some of our funding through the state. Some of our funding is through a public goods pool for federal funding. And we also have monies that's allotted through legislation, if you will. We're not a line item, but we do get money from the federal government as well. And we're also patched together with a series of grants and that help mostly our education efforts.
And Gail, we know that COVID is perhaps the single most significant public health crisis in our generation. Mm. How does the work of the Poison Center integrate with that? And what are some of the things that your folks are seeing?
Yeah. Well, the Poison Center's the most important thing certainly is our staff who contributes to efforts. But also we share our data, and that's really important. The data that we see coming into the Poison Control Center that we share with legislators, with local health departments, with our governing body like the AAPC, the American Association of Poison Control Centers, and they, and we do too directly, share our information with the CDC. So if we see an uptick in numbers. So whether it's hand sanitizers, or we see an uptick in the number of disinfectants, or whatever it may be, or it could be a drug of abuse during this time as well, that we're seeing an increase in, we would alert either, depending on what's most appropriate. Our legislators, they oftentimes call us for information as well. But we might call the health department and say, hey, we're seeing an awful lot of this. And so is the New York City Poison Center. We think we need to get a health alert out. Or it may be something that will inform, over the long term, help inform policy. So those are the types of things that the Poison Center does in contributing basically to public health efforts.
I know we here in Ulster County, we've seen a huge uptick in the lethality of the drugs out in the streets. In fact, our opioid overdoses and fatalities are double what they were last year. You know, as those heroin supply lines got cut off, you know, dealers infused more and more lethal fentanyl into their mixes, which has wreaked havoc in our community. So give our listeners a sense of like the volume of calls that have come in just around the COVID issues, around sanitizers and disinfectants and bleaches and those kinds of things around the house.
Yeah, all U.S. poison centers have received about 600,000 calls just about COVID alone.
Wow.
So when you think about that, poison centers generally receive about 2.4 million calls annually. So that number reflects about 25% of our annual total. So that's obviously a lot of calls.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, of course, we've heard in the news about certain individuals recommending drinking bleach to stave off the virus and people having more and bleach and disinfectants and other things around the house. So tell us about the calls that the poison centers have been getting. I mean, can you give us a sample of the kinds of things?
First of all, you know, when we look at products, and especially we're looking here at disinfectants, we're looking at cleaners, we're looking at hand sanitizers, bleach as a cleaner. Those are the types of calls that we certainly have seen increases in. So first, just to explain to your listeners, if you're looking at a cleaner, that basically cleans dirt and grime. When you talk about a disinfectant, that cleans germs. So either bacterial or viral, but not necessarily, or usually not both. So it's important that people know that in selecting a product and to prevent them from poisonings, that it's important that you read the label and you always follow the directions, not only the directions, but also the warnings and the precautions on those labels, because we find that that oftentimes, even though people intuitively know what to do, they don't do it. And so it's important that you read the label directions, if nothing else, as a reminder to how to use this product safely and to be sure that you're using the right product for your purpose.
Right. And I'm sure with the shortage of product on the shelves that people have been getting all kinds of off-label things, right, and not really scrutinizing as carefully.
Sure. And I think, too, that, we always say that hot soap and water will go a long way in cleaning. So that is one
absolutely
of our recommendations.
And less expensive too.
You bet.
And so we've heard about some of the hand sanitizers out there, and the FDA has developed a long list of ones that are potentially dangerous. So talk to us about the dangers with hand sanitizers.
Sure. The CDC generally recommends a formulation of about 60% isopropyl alcohol for hand sanitizers. That's the agent that kills the germ. Okay, but methanol is a form of alcohol It contains methanol and alcohol, also known as wood alcohol, but it's not approved for hand sanitizers. And so it's important that, you know, you, well, first of all, you read the label, but you also check the FDA website, because the problem is not in, not so much in applying it onto your hands as it would be that we're concerned about kids getting into it and people drinking the hand sanitizer, which could be deadly.
Yikes. And is that, I mean, so it, what is the most prevalent ones that you get in the poison control center? I mean, the calls related to sanitizers and others. I mean, where does it fall?
Well, a lot of people call just with questions. So a good number of the calls that we get into the poison center, whether it's about this particular product or some other, is just how to use the product properly oftentimes. And sometimes that turns into, a friend of mine was asking, and then when we get to the end of the other side of the call, we find out that indeed someone did use it or ingest it or spill it on something. So it's always good for our staff to, you know, continue with the query to find out whether it is an ingestion, whether it is somebody got it on their hand or in their eyes. But this particular type of hand sanitizer can be, with the methanol, can be deadly if ingested. So we want to make sure we get to the bottom of the query.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gail, we want to learn a lot more because there's a lot more to learn about all these products. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We're talking with Gail Bannick, Director of Public Education and Communications at Upstate New York Poison Center. And we'll be back after these words.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
Real products are tested for safety.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal.
Brought to you by NCPC and the USPTO.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and our guest today is Gail Bannick, who's Director of Public Education and Communications at Upstate New York Poison Center. And we've been talking about poisons in general, but also the ones associated with the COVID pandemic. And Gail, before the break, we were talking about hand sanitizers and some of the ingredients that could be harmful. Can you elaborate a little bit about that and how people know where to get that information?
Sure. Two things ran through my brain when you said that, so I want to make sure I cover both of them. First of all, any hand sanitizer that has 60% ethyl alcohol, which is the normal hand sanitizer, can be dangerous if a child ingests it. Because if you take that 60% and you double it, that's the proof of that product. So make sure that you keep all hand sanitizers, any kind, out of the reach of children. Don't put them in your purses. Put them somewhere that they can't reach them. It's very important. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, with the methanol products, please make sure that you realize that the product will not contain the word methanol on the label for some of these X, brand X. So if you don't know the label that you've purchased the product from, whether it's a regular drugstore or whatever, if you've gone to the dollar store, you bought a brand X, make sure you do go to the FDA website. And there you can just Google hand sanitizers and the list will come up, making sure that you match the brand or the name of the product you have with the list. And if you find either of them match your product, dispose of that product safely because it could be dangerous. And again, most concerned about someone drinking that product by mistake, a child or whomever might get into it. But also that methanol is very dangerous, it not only ingested, but it's also flammable.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point. And if they're not sure, even after they've done that research, they can always call, right? Call,
sure, absolutely.
Call the Poison Control Center, Poison Center, rather. Gail, so in the notes, there's something that caught my attention. It said the Centers for Disease Control conducted a survey with adults about cleaners and disinfectants. What did they find?
Yeah, there were about 500 people that were part of that survey, and that they found that although most people knew the rules for using products like hand sanitizer, disinfectant, bleach, they knew it, but they didn't oftentimes follow those rules.
Mm. And what is the general rule of thumb? I mean, when you're storing, I mean, the obvious ones are keeping them away from kids, but what specifically do you folks recommend?
Sure. Well, again, looking for some recommendations, we always make sure that, you know, in terms of, again, we go back to that reading the label. So very, very important, making sure you're using the right product for the job you have. And also know all of the precautions, such as, you know, well, keeping the area well ventilated or whatever it may be. But label directions are the most important. And also, too, that, you know, safe storage is huge, because obviously if you're using a product, and even while you're using it, if you keep that product out while you're using it, a child could get into that product. So safe storage, but also safe use while you're using the product is important.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I don't have young children anymore. My daughter is now a teenager, but there's so many toxic substances, you know, between all the house maintenance chemicals and, you know, I try to use natural cleaning products, but there's so many things that we kind of don't, you know, we take for granted that it's okay. We just put it on a shelf or we put it here or there. And we really have to be like really conscious that we're not the only ones that might have access, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, in looking at some of these, the survey results, it was interesting to me because when I talk about safe use, there were many people who knew that you should only use room temperature water to dilute bleach solutions. So you never add hot water to bleach because the fumes can cause inhalation issues. Should never use mix vinegar with bleach, the same reason. A lot of people knew that you didn't ever mix bleach with ammonia. People looked at 65% of the people surveyed said that they thought that you should use eye protection for cleaners and disinfectants. 71% said they should use gloves. And they realized that adequate ventilation was recommended. And yet, when they looked at the survey, it was interesting the number of people who didn't follow their own base knowledge base. So there were people who were misting their bodies or somebody else's with a cleaning product.
Oh,
and or they used disinfectant or cleaning products on their hands. And some, sadly, even gargled with or drank diluted bleach solutions or soapy water.
Oh, no.
For cleaning. And just so I guess the thing to say there is follow your instincts, read directions, again, you match that product. And if you think, usually if we think something is wrong, it generally is. Well, so it's good to make sure that even though during this time that we are so aware of cleaning and we're on top of cleaning our homes thoroughly and our cars and our children, please stick with the important rules of keeping your children safe and you by following, again, reading directions, using the appropriate products, storing safely, well ventilated. And if you need us, the Poison Center is available 365 days a year, 24 hours a day.
And that segues into the next question of the prevention messages that you folks really promote. You mentioned, I mean, I think you almost really stated it right there. Do you want to add anything to that in terms of prevention?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other thing is, you know, storage is extremely important. I mean, in the olden days, you know, when I was a kid, my mom used to store a lot of products underneath our kitchen sink. Why people store things there, I'm not really sure how that ever started, maybe just convenience. But it is important to know that, you know, kids are, that's why they're called accidents. They're not supposed to happen, but they do.
Right.
So, you know, look at things in your home through the eyes of a child. And if they're within your reach, they're going to be within their reach. And locks only slow kids down. So make sure that their things are out of the sight, out of the reach of children, and making sure, too, that if you can, put things under lock and key whenever possible, but especially out of their sight so kids don't even see them.
Mm-hmm. And aside from the COVID-related items such as sanitizer, disinfectant, cleaners, what are some of the most common calls that your centers get? I mean, what types of poisons, or is it pretty much distributed across the board?
Well, the number one call is about medicine. And the number one group that's poisoned most often, kids under five. And I don't think there are any surprises there. Mm-hmm. And those kids are not responsible for taking care of themselves. So we're also addressing parents and grandparents when we you know, talk about the issues with kids. So medicine certainly has to be stored properly, making sure you give children the right dose, using the right tools, using a medicine spoon, not a teaspoon or a tablespoon, which doesn't have an adequate measure. Or it could be a plant. You know, we get plant calls, especially, you know, we get them from seniors, we get them from kids eating them.
Right. Yeah, I know there are even like mushrooms growing out in my yard, you know, and I'm not nowhere near the expert, but I know there were some bright orange ones that are poisonous. And I, you know, I go around and like remove them so that my dog doesn't get into them either, because that could be really deadly.
Yeah. And that's the good news, is that if you don't know if something is a poison, you can call the poison center at any time. And no call is foolish. We take all kinds of calls, and we're glad that you called, because we would rather have you call the experts, dial that phone, or program the number of the poison center into your cell phone so that you have it when you need it. Press one button, call the poison center and ask the experts, as opposed to going to your computer, Googling it, and not knowing what the source is that you're calling.
So it should always be call first and not like try to douse it. You shouldn't take remedial steps that you're not sure of. You should call immediately.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're talking about a life-threatening situation, if someone can't breathe, then you'd always call 911 first. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that you're questioning, for example, you have been taking acetaminophen you've been taking a cough and cold preparation, and then you have a headache and you say, gee, I think I'll take an acetaminophen, an additional, and yet then you realize, oh my gosh, there's acetaminophen in this cold preparation that I've been taking, and now I'm taking further.
Yeah.
So, that's a call that you could call the poison center and say, hey, what am I doing wrong here? Or should I be doing this?
Yeah.
And of course, the poison center can't make recommendations in terms of what particularly a patient should do, especially if it's a prescription medication. But we can say, you know, 4,000 milligrams is the dose limit.
It's
for
too much, right?
In one day.
Right.
You know,
right.
So we certainly can help, or we'll at least point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And Gail, before we run out of time, because we are running out of time, tell our listeners where people can get in touch with the Poison Center, the phone number, website, et cetera.
Sure. Our website is simply www.upstatepoison.org. Mm-hmm. And our phone number is 1-800-222-1222. And if you Google Upstate New York Poison Center, you'll find that information right away. And we do encourage you to go to the website, because we have tons of information, not only on COVID-related products, but also we have 10 years of newsletters, which are 5 pages of information each. So we do encourage you to go to the website, kind of spend a little bit of time looking to see what we do have available, because I'll bet you'll find something interesting.
Great. And that number again, 1-800-222-1222. Thank you so much, Gail. Bannick, for the work that you do, you and your colleagues. It's really vital to our safety, everyone's safety. Stay well out there, and we really appreciate your being on Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.